Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This episode number 164, recording this on Sunday, January 28th, 1 week before Super Bowl 52. Sorry, I had to put that
Nobody
in there.
Nobody cares about
For
that.
Eric, Casey's not sure what the dates are and when things are coming up, but so welcome everybody. We are here. We have a full crew tonight. We have the whole gang back together again after last week missing Lizzie. And we did miss you, Lizzie. So.
Oh, you guys, the band's back together. Let's go on tour.
Yeah.
And I think actually this week she's like taunting the baldness because her hair is all like big and poofy and she's got like the big curls going and everything.
That
and
doesn't bother me.
Tim, it doesn't bother me, but I think she's taunting us, Lou.
The biggest...
I might dye my beard teal.
There you go.
Oh my gosh, do it, Lou, do it.
I'm just kidding.
You guys, the biggest news of my life is that I got a new hair straightener, hence the fluffy hair. Oh. That is the big news, actually.
Thank goodness.
You're welcome.
That has been so traumatic for the last, like, what, 3 weeks?
At least.
Yeah. it's been rough, Liz.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you're back on track.
I know.
Now.
I mean, I you know, guys.
And all the humidity down there in Florida to be frizzy and everything. I mean, you know.
She lost her chi, Lou.
My chi shorted out in Paris. It's been a struggle. You don't even know. You literally don't even know because you don't have hair. Like, you can't know.
So thanks for tuning in to This Week in Beauty Tips. This week we have...
We can have Random Chatter Beauty Tips be a special Patreon only thread.
Okay, so what have you guys been up to this past week or so watching? Anything new and exciting? Lizzie?
Yes, I've been watching a couple things. Number one, I was rewatching some of my favorite web series. I love web series from YouTube. They're like my favorite thing. It inspired me to do my own a couple years ago, but I was watching The Lizzie Bennet Diaries and Emma Approved and The New Adventures of Peter and Wendy and Classic Alice. Those are my four favorite ones. If you're interested in web series, those are the best. I've watched them before, but I just had to watch them again. And then I also started, season two of I always say it wrong. It's not Shannara. It's Shannara Chronicles by Terry Brooks. It's not Shannara. I always want to say that, but it's Shannara, I think. Anyways, doesn't matter. Season two is available on Netflix, but it's been so long since I watched season one that I was like, I got no clue. I have no idea what's happening.
I hate that when you get back and say, what happened?
I was like, even when they did the recap, I was like, what? Okay. I have no idea what happened. Cause it's like over a year ago. No one cares, Lou. No one cares on that. Anyway, so I'm going to go back and watch season one. It's only 10 episodes a season, so it's super easy rewatch. But I'm super excited that season two is available. And then the other thing I watched was a Netflix original called Stepsisters. And it's basically about like a black... it's about a black sorority and they're stepping. They step. And it's one of the sisters has to go teach the white sorority how to step. But it has sparked a lot of conversation on Twitter about, you know, like, it's like the conversation of, like, does the black person really need to go teach the white people something? It's like a bit of a trope. But this one is so empowering, and it really handles the racial situation so well that it's been getting a lot of good conversation on Twitter about it. So after that, after I watched that, my Netflix recommended me watch Dear White People. So I started that series, which I'm obsessed with. So anyways, that's everything that I'm watching.
Dear White People?
Yeah. Really? It's a Netflix original. And it's about
Netflix has got so much stuff out there. It's amazing.
They really do have so much. So sometimes I let it tell me what to do and sometimes I do my own thing. But this time I was like, okay, I'm going to take their suggestion. And it's really good. I'm only like two episodes in, then I got distracted by Shannara Chronicles. Shannara. I don't know how to say it.
Shannara. Yeah,
but okay. It's a Terry Brooks. This Shannara Chronicles is a Terry Brooks series, a book series. And it was on MTV, but now it's on Spike, I think, or Sci-Fi or something. I don't know. Anyways, I'm watching a lot of things, apparently. Okay. Who's next? Go ahead.
You are. Well, that's good. You keep up stuff.
I'm watching many things.
No, Tim, you were away for, I think you celebrated a birthday or something recently, I think, right?
I did.
Didn't you have one of those last year?
Happy birthday, by the way. Happy birthday. You're turning 30 this year? 31?
No. Oh, okay. Higher. it was my 40th. Had a awesome birthday weekend, which my lovely wife had kind of set up for me with a number of surprises.
Mrs. Tim!
Now, don't do this the wrong way, Tim, but you're only 40?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you were my age.
Damn, I feel like there's no other way to take that, Lou, but like.
But I didn't mean it like, you know, oh my God, you look like you're way older than. But no, you don't. It's just, I thought you were more my age. Like, well, now I feel really old.
You're only a few years older than me, though, Lou.
I'll be turning 50 this year, Tim.
Oh, will you really?
Holy yes, Moses.
Oh, okay.
I know.
Then I think we need to give you the.
I know.
Yeah, I feel like we should give you the, like, I can't believe you're 50. I can't believe it's not butter, Lou.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
That's right. No, it was a great weekend.
Awesome.
And it's funny that, you know, we had John on the show last week, and he actually came up. My wife had set this whole thing up in Lake Placid, which is one of my favorite spots to go, like, on the planet. And she rented us a house and had some family up there and some other friends. And John... surprised me by showing up and for the weekend. And he's a great cook. So he actually catered Saturday night. Like, he had this massive cooler full of food that he had prepped through the week and then brought up and prepared for everyone. So it was great. It was really fantastic. We did some cool things. For as many times as I've been up to Lake Placid, one thing I had never done was the Olympic bobsled run. And so you can do a touristy version of it, but you are legit in a bobsled. Nice. They provide a driver and a brakeman. And then they can take, you know, three people. So there's some pictures that I'll put up on social media and over in Slack probably tomorrow. And you do like half a mile, and we did it in 48 seconds.
Oh,
and
wow.
When you're on the straightaway, it doesn't feel like anything. But when you hit those curves and you are like, you know, you transcend the horizontal and you're kind of staring at the bottom of the track as you're whipping around that corner, it is intense. It's pretty crazy.
No, wait, Tim, as the guy behind the driver, you're supposed to have your head down. You're supposed to be aerodynamic, Tim. What are you doing? Putting your head up. Come on.
He's not part of the Winter Olympics, Lou.
Oh, I thought you were going to go.
He's not a contender.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
No,
that is so cool.
Yeah, they tell you, sit up straight, you know, see it, but, you know, hands and other appendages inside the car at all times.
Yeah.
Cause you're going freaking fast. I mean, it was, you know, they say you'll hit upwards of 50, 55 miles an hour.
That's pretty
going
wicked.
Down that thing. It was a lot of fun.
I always find the Winter Olympic sports really awesome. The speed and the danger, I guess, excites me about it. And I kind of got a thing for bobsled stuff from years ago. There was a guy that was, actually a customer of ours when I had my John Deere dealership down here in Connecticut back in the 80s. He was a race car builder, and he worked with Brett Bodine on the resurgence of USA bobsleds back in, like, it was the early 80s.
Redesigned bobsleds, didn't he?
He did. They
like, it was like a revolutionary thing.
Almost like taking
thing.
Racing chassis and putting them into the sleds and really put USA on the map for bobsleds, because we couldn't compete with the Europeans for a long time. But
Yeah.
So I've got this. I remember I've got this poster back when they did that from the whatever Olympics. It may have been Placid. I don't remember now. But you know, all framed with it was their inaugural poster of doing the whole, you know, USA team bobsled stuff. So that's cool. I'm awesome. I'm jealous you did that, because I'd love to do that.
Yeah, it was really neat. It was very cool. Seriously, folks, you know, head up to Lake Placid if you have the opportunity. I'm sure there's other Olympic training centers around the country, like Salt Lake City, that kind of stuff, that might have that mm-hmm. opportunity also. But Lake Placid is an awesome town, and they're doing the big Can-Am hockey series up there this weekend. So there were a ton of hockey players, kid and adult, wandering around town, and it's always a great vibe there during the winter. So, but it was a great birthday. It was a lot of fun. It was awesome. And speaking of hockey, my parents got me tickets to the LA Kings at Buffalo Sabres game coming up in a couple weeks. So my wife and I will head out to that. So yeah, that was that. So
awesome.
Let's see. In terms of what I've been watching, it's kind of funny that we talked about when John was with us last week, we talked some about Maze Runner, which I hadn't seen. And so this afternoon got home, we got unpacked and then just kind of chilled and flipping through the channels, and Maze Runner like was just starting as I'm flipping through the channels. So I said, well, hey, we talked about this last week. I haven't seen it before. Watched it. I enjoyed it. It was good. It wasn't outstanding, but it was good. It was, you know, kind of like what we talked about. It's that, you know, young adult dystopian future kind of thing. Very much a Lord of the Flies vibe to it. You know, if you took that and crossed that with Hunger Games and that type of feel. And then the second one was on after that, which I got a little bit through before we started to record. The second one kind of felt like a bit of a hot mess.
But it does exist, is what you're saying.
It does exist, yeah. It does exist, and it seemed kind of like a cross between like a zombie flick and Aliens and something else. I don't know what. It's a little weird. I actually set the DVR to record it because I do want to get through it and see it so I can give a full impression. Sure. And then the other thing really on my list, aside from just kind of keeping up on normal shows, a movie that I love but I haven't seen in a while, is Spaceballs.
And, oh, yes.
Yeah. Earlier this week it was on, I couldn't sleep one night, and it was on later on at night, and I had that on and I laughed, and it totally holds up, and it's a great movie. It was a lot of fun. So
yeah, Spaceballs is one of my all time favorite movies. It's a great movie just to watch. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you,
Lou? As for myself, I have recently caught up on Star Trek Discovery. I think we talked a little bit about this last week, and I am now fully caught up on all the episodes. Okay. Except for the one that aired tonight. And I am fully on board with this series now. I was very skeptical going in. I picked up the subscription to CBS All Access just to be able to watch it, because I am a big Trek fan. I wanted to see the stuff. But I was worried about a prequel and how it interferes with everything else. And yeah, how do you make this so close to the timeline that we're used to seeing without changing stuff? Because technology we have even today is better than what we had for other series and stuff. And the way they've worked things, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the way they've worked things out, it calms all my fears. I am no longer worried about anything going to screw things up and how they're going to portray stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know, so
that's good to hear.
I'm excited to see where they go with this. What's that?
I'm hearing good things across the board of it. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are watching it. I'm seeing comments on social media and such from a lot of folks who are really enjoying it. So I'm glad that they put together something really great. I know there are a lot of naysayers, you know, and some people I think are just cautious about anything new. And like you said, Lou, it's, you know, they're doing it essentially as a prequel, or it's in the midst of the timeline, and how do they address certain things? And there were certain imagery, and then having a female lead and that kind of stuff, which some people just can't get over for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, you know, I still have some concerns about the fact they're doing things differently than they did back in the 60s. And obviously, you know, it's a different time. You have to do things differently. But
sure.
You know, but I was more off the scale of the stuff like in the Klingon Empire, having women having powerful roles in the Klingon Empire, which is totally not what they had, even in more recent Trek stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a very, you know, patriarchal society, and, you know, women don't have really a place at the sitting council for stuff and everything else. But I'm less concerned with that. And I was more concerned with the whole fact of how you interact with stuff and how you don't change what we already know as, you know, canon. Mm-hmm. And they've done a good job. I really appreciate where they're going with this. And I'm excited for the series now. I think it's got a good way to, it had a good starting point. Now it's ready to launch, I think. And yeah. I guess I'm just sad that it's still only on CBS All Access, and so many people aren't going to be able to see it until much later. I think it's definitely worth seeing.
How much are you paying per episode, out of curiosity, since that's the only thing you're watching on All Access?
Yeah, I mean, I have watched a few other things on CBS that we, you know, that my wife and I watch. So I'm getting a little more use of it than normal. But yeah, it's $6 a month, something like that. Yep. And, you know, I've paid for, you know, 3 months so far or whatever it is. I mean, yeah, it's not the way I want to do it, but, you know, hey.
As long as the programming is worth it, then meh.
Yeah. Well, it's just that one show, and it's like, that's the only way I can watch it. So, okay, fine. You know, I'll pay it. But I would have been more upset if it didn't turn out the way it is and it was just going down the tubes. But okay, fine. Right.
But it seems like it's paying
off.
But now
I have to continue it. For me, it is. Yeah, I'm glad.
And who knows what other Star Trek series could be spawned in the future. And then you're already in.
I don't want to get too much stuff going because they did that before. Too many series. And all of a sudden you run out of stuff.
Yeah, but we're in an age when that's what's totally going to happen. So get used to it.
Hey, if it keeps going and Trek keeps going, I'll be happy. So I'm proud of that, I guess. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I started watching Electric Dreams. I'm still loving the shows on there. I have not watched them all yet, but the stories are good. It's an anthology series. The guy that did Battlestar Galactica reboot is involved in that.
Roger.
His name.
Roger D. Moore.
Yes.
Ronald.
D. Moore, not Roger.
I got the other half of it right. Ronald D. Moore.
Let's see. I've caught up on the CW Arrowverse stuff. That's back after the holiday break. Still loving those. And I actually listened to Annihilation on Audible in preparation for seeing the movie. So cool. I knew it was supposedly a well-received book. I wanted to check that out. I'm a little bit with the book. I mean, it was good, but I don't know. I was hoping it was going to give me a good lead into the movie, and I still don't know where we're at with that. So we'll see. The book kind of, I don't think, answers a lot of questions, but I'm assuming the next two books in that series will. So we shall see.
Cool.
Let's see. Box office update this week. Maze Runner debuted in number one spot this week in its first week. 23.5 million. So not a bad way to go. It did unseat Jumanji as the top box office winner after, 4 weeks at number one or something like that?
5 weeks.
Was it five weeks?
Okay, after 5 weeks in number one, which is crazy because, Liz, I mean, that was your Jumanji was your big take back from the fall movie draft. And it's still going strong. I mean, it's in week six now, and it's hitting $338 million, which is just crazy.
I mean, nobody thought this was going to come close to the cap, but it's close. I
definitely did not think that was going to be something that helped me kick Tim's butt. But I'll take it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hostiles in number three at $10 million in its debut week. Actually, it's funny. Box Office Mojo has that in week six because I guess it did open up in a narrow release back last year to be in the box office or to be in a running for award shows. So it's actually at 6 week, but this was the first week it was opened wide. So $10 million there, not a huge showing. The Greatest Showman rebounded. It came up to number four. It was down to number five, I think, last week. 9.5 million. And The Post also is in there too with 8.8 million. So it's funny, of the five top movies, three of them are in their 6 week.
We have not seen that trend.
No, we haven't. I mean, it shows some incredible stamina of those three films, but it also shows that despite newer releases, those newer releases within a week or two are gone.
Right.
And these three movies are still holding strong. I mean, The Post got a lot of hype and unfortunately really hasn't seemed to fulfill that hype. I mean, it's in its 6 week with still not even 60 million.
That's a pretty poor showing, I think.
Yeah. Greatest Showman, I think, has held in there longer than a lot of us expected it to.
Well, what they're doing now is they're releasing sing-along versions. So they're getting a resurgence from that. Yeah, they released a bunch of sing-along with a little ball on the lyrics and everything. So
Really?
In the movie? That's awesome.
Yeah, so a lot of people I know have been going back to see it again with a bunch of group of friends and doing sing-along versions. So I think that would...
That's fun.
Yeah, that explains a little bump in what they're getting. And it's a great way to sort of rebrand their movie and... You know, it's gotten like the buzz from the This Is Me winning the Golden Globe and being nominated for an Oscar. So I think that is helping it out, too. So it's fun to see that get a little bump because it's such a good movie. Right.
That's good. And that's a really cool thing. The sing-along thing. I never thought of that for a musical, particularly in the theater. I think that's really
cool. They did it with Frozen. So good for them. When Frozen first came out and it. Like everybody freaked out and loved it. And then they kept it going by doing a sing along version. Yeah. Cool. So they're fun to go to, P.S.
Cool.
Very cool.
Next week, there's not much coming out. I put Winchester down here as probably the biggest release for next week. That's the one based on the Winchester House mansion, mm-hmm. wherever it is. The one has been, is it still in construction? I mean, I think the part of the story was it's always under construction, so that something doesn't.
I don't know.
I know nothing about that. It's kind of
weird, but I saw a documentary out one time. It sounded very interesting. The movie might be pretty cool, but I don't know if it's going to do well or not. But it looks like it might be. I mean, Helen Mirren starring in, so that's something there.
So yeah. I want to do a quick bit of reflection here on the winter movie draft. So Maze Runner, you know, as Lou mentioned, it's in its first week, came out pretty strong out of the gate with over 23 million. That is one of Andrea's films. She spent 20 credits on that, but I think it could contribute for pretty well. And then Winchester is another one of hers. Mm-hmm. The real shocker here, I think, is for Lou, who spent one credit on Insidious.
And you know, some say shocker, some say strategic planning.
No one says that about this.
Oh yeah, no, this is a prime move on my part to buy this movie for $1.
Zero people think that this
film strategic. Has made over $58 million, and Lou got it for one credit.
Baffling.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
That might be a record for a one. I don't think have we had a one credit movie go before? I think Eric bought a one credit movie last night.
I feel like you get a slow clap for that for sure.
Yeah.
Come on. That was strategic.
And we're giving it to you.
Yeah. And that came out on the 5th of January. So it's still making, it's not in the top five, but it's still making bucks. So
you know, the funny thing is, I mean, horror movies do well, and the Insidious line has done pretty well. I'm not a huge fan of these kind of movies that have just movie after movie after movie, but
Saw.
Horror movies always do bank. And I figured if I can get it for a couple bucks, mm-hmm. I'd be happy. And I didn't think I'd get it for $1, but
I can't in good conscience spend credits on a horror film because I can't. I just can't.
Lizzie is a very principled player when it comes to movie draft.
I mean, am.
She won't spend money on horror movies. She wanted Black Panther.
I got what I wanted.
At all costs. And she got it at all costs.
And everyone yelled at me about not doing anything about Justice League, by the way. And I feel like I made a very good decision there. Thank you very much. So I'm just saying, I trust my instincts. But we can also trust Lou's. You know who don't trust is Tim's.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Not in this. You know, and that's the funny thing is that in our movie draft, I am abysmally horrible.
It's but true.
In the Fantasy Movie League, which folks, have not gotten into Fantasy Movie League, you can go to the website, you can go to the app. Eric has a link somewhere on the Random Chatter website for Fantasy Movie League that will direct you toward our group. So Random Chatter Network actually has we have our own league in this, which Lizzie, you need to get in on.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this.
And
we've been keeping the secret from you.
it's a lot of fun. And somehow, like, I've been crushing it in that. I've ended up first place most weeks within our league. Incredibly so. It might have to do with the fact that when we do our movie draft, I have, like, a little bit of a beverage.
Oh, is that how we're saying it now?
Maybe.
A little bit of a beverage.
Well, you know, Tim, I also want to just, you know, maybe say something. Well, you said you've been winning most weeks, and I'm looking at the wins for the people in the listing here, and I see, you know, you've got two. Eric has one, Stuart has one, and Erasure 7 has one.
So that's
I wouldn't say
more
that's
than anyone
weeks.
Else.
More than anybody else. Not twice. You could say twice as many as anybody else.
I'm going to win.
You can't really say most because, I mean,
I'm probably going to win this week because I'm in first place right now.
You are. But now, mind you, I have just started last. It's my second week doing it. I'm already in second place. I'm moving my way up. Watch out next week.
Plus, you're going down. You just invited me to join the club. So you may as well get used to backseat because hello.
No, I am not going to lose to you again, Elizabeth. It's not. It can't happen.
I bid with my heart, and my heart is never wrong.
It will never steer you wrong. But speaking of Liz's bidding, Black Panther, which you mentioned, is coming out in less than 3 weeks, and I am really stoked. I'm definitely going to be there opening night. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, me too. Yeah, no, 100%.
And I think, you know, the winter movie draft, in our draft at least, there's not a lot of huge movies. I mean, we've got Black Panther, which is probably going to be the biggest one of this draft.
Probably.
Whether or not it does the $400 million or not, I don't know. I think it's great that Lizzie couldn't buy many other things because she spent so much money on this. Because I think it's going to level the playing field for everybody here. Because everything else is pretty much a toss-up as to what's going to happen with it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm looking through here. I mean, what are the other big movies that are going to be out here? I mean,
this is what I was saying.
Well, it's the thing, but you know, you've got that one. What else do you have? Anything else?
I don't know. I don't care about anything else. I don't care about that.
Okay, no, you had Forever My Girl.
There you go. Oh, okay. Hello, Valentine's Day.
So that's it. Yeah. So you got $4 million out of Forever My Girl. So that's not going to do you much good. And you'll get, you know, 300 plus out of Black Panther probably. You know, I don't have anything huge in mind. I mean, unless Ready Player One does bank, which I don't know if it'll do that much or not. Nope.
Won't, sadly. I want it to, but I don't think it will.
Pacific Rim might do really, really well.
Yes, I mean, Pacific Rim will.
That's a popcorn movie. You know, they'll do well.
I think Pacific Rim will do well.
To see. I mean, I can't wait to see how this plays out with Lizzie Pay $89 for Black Panther. So
I mean, you're welcome for leveling the playing field. I was thinking of you.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Wait. Okay. Before we get into the news section, though, I thought of another thing that happened this weekend. I went to see Trevor Noah, his comedy show live. Do you guys watch The Daily Show?
Really?
Anyone watch The Daily
Show? Yeah.
It was magical. It was so, it was just so fun and funny. And he has just such a way of like disarming people with laughter about like racism and like the N-word and apartheid and all these like heavy Trump and all these heavy issues. And he just goes full throttle, but you walk out and you're like, oh my gosh, I laughed so much and feel lighter for it. And just like, awesome. But still making you think. I mean, if you haven't read his book, Born a Crime, you should read it. It's wonderful. It's funny, but it's also like because he was raised in apartheid with a white father and a black mother, he literally was born a crime. And so it's just, the way he sees the world is wonderful. So I just wanted to mention that too, because it's sort of like a entertaining thing. It was a birthday gift. The show was a birthday gift from my cousin and it was wonderful. So if you have a chance to read his book, if you have a chance to see his show, like do it. Cause he's wonderful. Wonderful.
Cool.
Nice. Also a little side note for you.
Cool. Well, let's get right into the news. Let's see. So last week, our What Were They Thinking Weekly was the Dundee movie trailer.
Yes.
That has kind of since been debunked, I guess, as not really being a trailer. Although people are still saying they really don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. So
it won't go away.
What is this title? I mean, the Son of a Legend Returns Home?
That's supposed to be the name of the
movie. Why do they hate people? That's terrible.
It won't go away.
The Son of a Legend Returns Home. Any of the portions of this title could have just been the title. Dundee the Son.
Sure.
Dundee a Legend. Sure. Dundee Returns Home. Not all of them. This is
Well, it's not about Dundee. It's about the son of Dundee.
Returning home because he's a legend.
And he's returning home.
This is redundant.
Yeah, exactly. So there was ties I read to this in an article that they read to the producer of this spot that we talked about last week was actually the same company that does the tourism for Australia. So there was ties to that and people were thinking, okay, now it's really not a movie. Maybe it's about just going to Australia.
Is it just one of those commercials with all the celebrities from that place in it? Like California?
No, it's really just him. It was just him standing on a cliff in the movie. He pulls out a knife and he does the whole "that's not a knife" line. And but now there's been new stuff. There's, you know, Chris Hemsworth is supposed to be in the movie with him. Hugh Jackman now says he's in the movie with him.
All the Australians.
But we don't know if it's a movie or a Super Bowl spot.
Okay.
Or something else. I don't know. I just think it's an interesting topic to talk about. But you know, if this is a spot for the Super Bowl, one thing I think about this that's kind of interesting is. Okay, spots are expensive at Super Bowl. I mean, a couple of years ago, it was what,
$3 million for a 30-second spot or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much bang do you get out of your money for that? So if you can get buzz about the spot before the spot appears, you know, like this is getting, I mean, you're getting more for your money, obviously.
I feel like that's sort of what happened with Deadpool. You know, like Ryan Reynolds really went to bat for Deadpool and it sort of got pre-buzz before anything came out. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was like, we have to have this movie. And I feel like it got what it got because of that. So, I mean,
if it works. I'm just about marketing in general.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, related to the Super Bowl, if you're going to do an ad there, whether it's for a movie or for something else entirely, if you can leverage the social media aspect of it beforehand, get people talking about it beforehand, you've already won with how much you're going to spend on this thing. And the funny thing is, if this actually turns out to be nothing at all done during the Super Bowl, now they've actually tied it to a Super Bowl ad campaign to say it's going to be a big buzz about this. And there's all this, you know, as many people watch this for the ads as we do for the game. This might not even be a Super Bowl ad and get all the buzz from it and publicity out of it. And now it's, you know, made bank without even spending the $3 million for 30 seconds. I think it's a pretty brilliant spot.
If
they're doing something like that.
You know? It's totally brilliant. I'm all for like guerrilla social media marketing because the power of social media is so strong. And when somebody like really leverages the like social media currency, it's fascinating to me because you can do so much with that.
Oh, definitely. And there's so many different ways they're doing it these days. It's just, it's awesome when somebody comes up with a new way to really get something out there.
I don't know what else I can say about this film that I didn't say before.
Well, no, we don't know it's a film now, Tim. So I just wanted to bring it up that we may have been spoofed by this and it may not really even be a movie, but.
They may very well just be trolling us.
Yeah, and we were the only ones that got caught by this. A lot of media outlets noted this as a movie, and we're like, what?
I really hope it is them just trolling, because I love the idea of that. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, I think if this turns out to be an ad for something else entirely, it'll be hysterical. Yeah. And there's been other clips released since that teaser trailer.
Oh, yeah. There's a new one.
There's one of him outside the car with the holding up the horns thing that he's trying to look at was it a water buffalo or something?
Yeah.
Because that was in the first movie, too. And Chris Hemsworth in the car going, can we just go around it, you think?
I've had to watch all of these. Like I missed it.
They're awesome. The spots are funny as anything. But one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up here in this show was that the other ads for movies that may appear during Super Bowl. I mean, there's always a bunch of Super Bowl ads that are just dedicated to movies and trailers and releases coming up. And I think a bunch of these are kind of confirmed. And one of them is a real mystery that, you know, why we're not going to get one. But so kind of confirmed right now are Incredibles 3.
Incredibles 2.
Is it 2? Oh,
there was no 2 yet. What is happening?
that's a theme
you
of the
can't
night.
There skip is no the two. Sequel.
I'm sorry.
This is not Maze Runner 2.
that was my
fault. Incredibles 2.
Okay, so Incredibles 2.
You're killing me.
This is the one about Baby Jack.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this movie.
I'm excited to do a trailer for this. I think that fits for the Super Bowl. We're almost bound to get a Black Panther and or Avengers Infinity War trailer.
It's got to be Avengers. There's so many spots already out about Black Panther.
Everybody's talking about it being a Black Panther spot, which I'm surprised about because I'm like, the movie's coming out soon. Why would you do a, you know, multi-million dollar 30-second ad just to put it out there?
I don't want any more footage than what I've seen. I want to go in with what I already know. I don't want to see anything else. I'm going to shut my eyes.
Well, then don't watch Super Bowl.
I don't watch the Super Bowl.
And considering how much Black Panther has already spent on marketing, so to spend that extra, I mean, they've already built the hype. I don't know that they're going to get any real benefit from showing this during the Super Bowl.
Well, especially because
if there's any question of who they haven't reached and trying to reach people that aren't comic book fans with a movie that's a stretch, I guess, if you're not a comic book fan. Although I said that about Ant-Man, that did pretty well.
Oh my gosh, dude.
This is the way to do it. I mean, that is your biggest audience.
Well, that's
right
what
there.
They did with Star Wars is they leveraged the football, you know, medium to.
Yeah, Monday Night Football.
I mean, the thing that, I don't know, I read an article that Black Panther's already slated for $100 million opening weekend. And so I just think it's. because Black Panther's in Infinity War, it would already sort of be a promo for, because, you know, it's all connected. It's all where we're going with it. So have it be Infinity War.
Well, the other thing I read too was the Black Panther ad might be an ad co-branded with Lexus. Because they've been showing clips of the Lexus ad with him in it.
Yeah.
Because the car features in the movie too. So, you know, kind of that co-branded marketing.
I mean, if they did something interesting with like Black Panther in an ad that is essentially an ad to go see Black Panther, but without new footage, I'm all for that. But I don't want to see footage. Like, I don't want to like storyboard the movie in the freaking Super Bowl.
Oh, I know what you mean.
I hate when they do that.
You know, as we get closer, I stop watching trailers,
I mean, they have these awesome spots on Instagram that I'm, like, jazzed about, like, character spotlights, but they're tiny, and I'm okay with that. I don't want more. I want to see the movie. I want to see it now. I want to see it today.
Soon enough. Relax.
Is it time yet, though, Lou? Is it time now, though? But is
no.
But what about,
no, it's not.
But what about now?
Wait.
Okay, no, I waited. Is it time now?
let's see. Another one we're looking at possibly getting is... the new Cloverfield movie, and there's been a lot of talk about where this is going. The dates have moved around a couple times, and it sounds like it's gone from a theatrical release to something that Netflix now owns the streaming rights to, and they may just stream this directly.
Tim and I don't even know where it's been, so we've never...
Yeah. That's true. You guys haven't seen it. Now, one of you guys owns it, don't you, in the movie draft? Oh, Tim does.
Yeah,
so
well,
if it goes to Netflix, you're not going to get any money out of that.
That's unfortunate.
Right, I did, but it's going to be... Yeah, it's already been announced that it's being put on hold, potentially delayed until April. So, yeah, I mean, even if it does end up in the theater, it's going to be April. But,
right.
Yeah, either way, it's not going to come up in this.
It's not going to come up in your draft, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. But, so the movie has been under the working title of God Particle. Mm-hmm. So it's told you about an incident happening on a space station. And now it sounds like the name has changed to Cloverfield Station. So I don't know. I mean, I'm interested. I like the Cloverfield universe, and I'm interested to see what they do with it. But it doesn't bode well. It's going from theatrical release to Netflix release.
I don't
know.
Netflix does great work. So that could actually work in its favor, whereas a third movie to a, you know, when did the second one come out even? I'm telling you.
Yeah, Netflix does some great stuff. You're absolutely right. But I don't think they're looked upon as being the same stature as a theatrical release.
No, it's different stature. And the
maybe that's just me.
And maybe the
old,
switch
but,
doesn't help it. But I think if it had gone, I think Netflix does quality work. And I think everybody thinks that. I'm not saying it's the same as like a movie, but maybe a third movie in the Cloverfield series wouldn't have done that well. But maybe it'll have a better chance at Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Could be. Let's see. Talk about getting a short trailer for Mission Impossible Fallout. They're looking at doing a shortened 30-second spot during the Super Bowl and then having the full version debut online right afterward.
I'm not going to lie. I love me some Mission Impossible.
They're fun.
Hey, it's a fun
even
fun
if this
movie,
one is complicit in the Henry Cavill mustache disaster of Justice League, I'm still okay with it.
Yeah, probably. I guess they teased him with the Superman theme during
complicit.
The filming. let's see. A Quiet Place is going to get a pregame spot. That's the one with was it John Krakauer? Is that who it is? The guy from The Office?
Krasinski.
Krasinski.
Just making up words over there.
I am. I was confusing myself. But that one looks pretty good. The trailer for that I saw a teaser for before looked frighteningly good. So that'd be fun. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I guess we're getting a trailer for that maybe during the Super Bowl. Be nice to see. And then the one that we're probably not going to see that we all want to see is Solo.
Oh.
I don't even know what they're
what
doing.
What are they doing?
I mean, we kept saying before, no, it's not going to be during the Super Bowl because that'd be way too late. They need to do it beforehand. Now we're a week away. So it's like, and now people are like, yeah, probably not even going to get it there. I saw one thing online saying we might get it during the Academy Awards in March. I'm like, March?
Yeah.
Okay.
By
the time we get to March, let's not even bother.
I've heard speculation that it'll end up in front of Black Panther, which certainly makes sense.
It makes sense, yep.
Not to be its debut. I think its debut needs to be sooner than that.
I mean, because if we think back to when we used to get trailers, this is weird that we would get them this early. We never used to get them like we get them now. We didn't get them in the Super Bowl, like, necessarily. We'd get them in a film release and we'd watch them that way. But Disney has set a precedent now in how they've released it. So to break with that for what they've been doing with their Star Wars trailers is the thing that's confusing because they've set a precedent. That does.
Yeah.
You know, it's still plenty of time for hype, though, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, in general, box office smash movies, you know, big tentpole movies are getting marketing, you know, 6, 7, 8 months out ahead of the movie. Smaller movies don't. They show up, you know, 2, 3 months ahead of time. But and movies get trailers released in different ways now they're online. There, you know, there's many ways they release these trailers, and we can watch them. Remember you used to have to spec out which movie do I got to go see to watch that trailer. Even though I don't want to see the movie, I want to see the trailer. You don't do that anymore because they're online. But see, we haven't had a trailer yet.
But we know the shakeup that's happened behind the scenes. So, I mean, I feel like it's not like we don't have a reason for it. And I wonder if maybe they're taking a step back because some of the press wasn't that great going. You know, people are really skeptical about the Ron Howard takeover and all of the, you know, the shakeup behind the scenes. Maybe they're stepping back
all of us,
you know? And knowing that you don't need that long anymore with guerrilla marketing.
But what better way to stifle the talk about how this movie's in trouble by releasing a good trailer?
But that can happen in March. I mean, all they have to do is release a good trailer for it to stifle it. Who cares if it lasts a little longer? They've been in the news for a while, and I feel like the buzz has been happening. But like, if you take a step back from that, let the buzz die down. Say, like, you know, okay, Ron Howard's doing it. They're fixing it. We know what's going on behind the scenes. Take a step back, and then in March, bam, like, sick trailer. We're all like, yes, this is what we waited for. Or it sucks, and I mean, I just don't see it sucking. But like.
Okay, Tim, you heard it here first. We're going to get a sick
trailer.
That's
my prediction. I feel like they're just waiting. They're like, everything's going to come out in Super Bowl, and they're going to be like, you just wait. This isn't our time. Like, and then they're going to be like, bam.
You know, for as much as I don't want this movie, I don't want it. As much as I didn't care about wanting it.
You want it.
Oh, I hope it does well. I hope it's a great trailer.
You want it so bad.
Oh, I'm going to be there opening night, but. I just don't think we need this movie.
Do we need any movies?
Oh, we need movies.
I meant but specifically.
yeah, whatever.
Tim, what are you doing?
I just...
Where are you?
I'm totally baffled about this whole Solo trailer thing. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. It defies logic right now.
Yeah,
it doesn't,
it really
because
does.
We know what's happening behind the scenes. We know that they're waiting.
No, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
We know.
You know, it's like.
That's the whole
we
problem.
We know, Lou.
Okay, Lizzie, if you think you know.
Okay, I told you. My heart. I follow my heart.
Okay, so Tim. We can get her to bid this up.
No, you can't, actually.
She's going to spend $89 on Solo when it comes out in our movie draft. Okay, moving right along. We've done reboots ad nauseum, I guess, on the show. We're getting a few more. Greatest American Hero is looking at doing a reboot. They have, I think they've ordered a trailer. They ordered the pilot, I think, right? Is that what this story gave us? Yeah, so let's see. It's a half hour single camera comedy, which is was the original one a half hour or was it an hour?
I think it was a half hour.
So it was an hour for some reason. Okay. And the take on it differently this time is it's going to be an Indian American woman as the lead. And same concept, she's going to get a super suit from aliens. But the difference being, whereas the first one had a school teacher that lost the instruction manual, she is, and where do they put it in here? She's a 30-year-old Indian American woman from Cleveland who spends her time drinking tequila and singing karaoke.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
That's hilarious.
It's a great setup.
It sounds interesting. Yeah. I mean, this could be a lot of fun.
It's a great setup. I think it's hilarious. I like taking, you know, we have some really terrific superhero genre movies and TV shows out there, and I like them also making fun of the genre too. And even though this is a reboot, the original show is pretty funny. And I think
show
they,
was, yep.
Yeah, and I think they could do something that's really fun with it, with taking the same concept and making it more modern. I
you
think
know
it'd
what's
be great.
Funny is that, like, what is it about this show that doesn't irk you? Because I never watched this show, but, like, when we were discussing Magnum P.I. and we were discussing the other reboots, like, we were pissed about it. We're like, why? But there's something about this one that doesn't bother you. Is it the different take they're taking on it? Or is it just it doesn't hold the place in your heart that the other shows do, and maybe they're not stepping on your toes with that one? Like, what is it about this one that's not bugging you?
That's the big thing for me, is that it's not... You know, Magnum PI for me is like, that's a big thing, and it's iconic, and it exists in basically it defined itself. Greatest American Hero. Okay. Yeah, sure. There really wasn't anything else like it, but it wasn't iconic. So I'm okay that they reboot it. Magnum P.I., that freaking mustache was
iconic.
Well, yeah,
that's wrapped up in the actor who plays it, right? Whereas maybe this isn't as wrapped up in that. Maybe the concept is everlasting, whereas P.I. is all about the stash, you know what I'm saying?
Although, I mean, I wasn't actually opposed to the Magnum P.I. reboot. I was actually okay with it. I, you know, there are certain things that I think... shouldn't be touched, and there are other things. I mean, from the description that they gave on this potential reboot for Magnum PI, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was a neat twist on things, and I'd be interested to see what they do with it, because I think there are a lot more stories that could be told, and they were going to modernize it, and I thought it could be pretty cool. So,
see, and for me, it was some of the same things you mentioned to me. For me, it was Magnum PI is a iconic, you know, show from the day. I don't know how well it holds up now, but you know, it was a good show back then, and had a great star of it, and no reason to remake it. Personally, you know, it's like you could do something different. I mean, the Hawaii Five-0, when that was remade, that wasn't a huge deal killer for me, because I didn't have a vested interest in the first one, and there's other stories to tell. It's not about the character. Magnum PI was about the character Magnum. You know, I mean, that's him. Mm-hmm. If you do a new version of it, if you don't have that right chemistry of the cast and the main actor, who cares? You know, Greatest American Hero, for me, while I loved the show back then, at first when I read the title, I was like, oh, no, not another reboot. This just sounds awful to do that show. But then when I read the blurb here about how it's a different, like, okay, this is a whole different take on it. It's the same concept, but a different take on a different character, a different way to present the, you know, her interacting with the suit and interacting with people in general, it's not going to be the same show.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be. Whereas Magnum P.I., I think, has to be the same show, because it's about
Magnum
P.I.
It's why BSG was able to be rebooted, and we were all fine with that. Whereas, did they reboot MacGyver too? And that one, like, that was also all about MacGyver.
I didn't care for that, yeah.
Don't even talk about the reboot of MacGyver. It is the most abysmal freaking thing on TV.
I watched a couple of episodes, and that was it.
It's on par with Magnum P.I. because they're both stories about the main person.
Exactly.
And if you don't have the main person, or you're not going in, like, Magnum P.I.'s daughter or something, like something that's, I don't know, like a new take on it that's still in-world. Like Ghostbusters versus Ocean's 8, maybe. It's like Ghostbusters, you're taking it out of world and it doesn't make sense, whereas Ocean's 8 is in world. So it's interesting where ones that were like, what the junk, and other ones were like, okay, I'm interested to see where they go with that.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, and the same thing with Ghostbusters, and it's interesting. It really is interesting. I think the reasons and perspectives that we have for the ones that we say, hey, yeah, we're cool with that, or no, leave that alone.
I mean, because Ghostbusters is character driven, whereas you could see it working in a world with other Ghostbusters, but Ocean's 11, it's like, yeah, I like the characters, but a heist movie is a heist movie. So like, do whatever you want. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, stuff like Hawaii Five-O is what, in its fifth season or something now, I think, right? I mean, yeah. It's been on for a while, so it's done well. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think that some other reboots have done as well.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think it depends a lot on the people that are watching it, the fan base, how tied to the cast they were when it was originally done, and how well you can pull off a different take. Yeah,
it is interesting, the ones that, like, we stick our feet, like, in the mud about, and the other ones we're like, all right, I'll give it a try. Mm-hmm.
And some of us will be, hey, no way am I going to watch that.
Say, well, sure, like, hey, you can't please everybody. Mm-hmm. So. There's no point in trying.
No. Just ask
exactly. Or two. You don't even need five.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, yeah, exactly. Just ask two or three. Speaking of Star Wars, we're going to have a movie take on Star Wars in December of 2019.
A movie that's already proven that it has the chops
it's
to
true,
do
it. It's true. It does.
I know. Jumanji 3
mm-hmm.
has been slated for Christmas time in December of 2019, which is the same time frame as episode 9.
I mean,
9
this one
out.
Went up against The Last Jedi, so.
Right, you know, at first I was thinking, oh, I was going up against this, but no, wait, it went up against a number movie. Okay, yeah. No, this is gonna be a good takedown. So, I'm interested to see how this works out.
I am too. I mean, I'm interested.
Do you
see...
think the next Jumanji will pick up from what's left off with the numbers?
Well, and that's the thing. I'm interested to see what the next Jumanji does. I like that they're doing completely. I mean, at least between 1 and 2, that this was a completely different
story.
Well,
they didn't have,
you know, they had a, it was, they had, there really wasn't even an intersection. All they did was kind of make, they had a couple of acknowledgments in the new film that the events of the old film did in fact take place.
Without Robin Williams, you can't really jump off what they built in the first one, you know, given the givens.
Yeah. And beyond that, it was a completely different film. Now, that said, they got to put an. I like what they did. I think it should be a completely different cast, regardless of the fact that, you know, The Rock and Jack Black. And I mean, everyone in this movie completely knocked it out of the park. I had mm-hmm. the greatest time watching this movie. It was awesome and it was funny. And I was solidly entertained through the whole thing. Jumanji 3, new cast. Who's it going to be? What are they going to do with it?
See, I'm not sure if they're going to do a new cast, though. I mean, if it's based on the same kind of a video game-esque concept, you've got the characters already. I mean, that's your characters.
But I like the concept of it, like, evolving with other people finding it, which is sort of, it is how they set up the end of Jumanji 1, mm-hmm. when, like, at the very end, the game goes to another person and they find it, and you're like, oh, gosh, they're going to have this. And that's that's the transcending the characters of Jumanji, like what we're just talking about with reboots, is as long as the concept transcends the characters themselves, it's difficult to transcend Robin Williams in my heart personally. So the fact that this is, I still haven't seen it, but I'm interested in seeing it and I like the concept, but I don't want to, I mean, I love The Rock and Jack Black and Karen Gillan. I love the whole cast, Kevin Hart, but like, I love the idea of who is the next four that are going to get thrown into this more than I like this cast. And mm-hmm. I hope that's where they go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great way to do it. I do, too.
And
I'm just thinking that they made it that way for those characters again. And, you know, Hollywood tends to want to reuse things. But
and while the story of this one was good, if the cast didn't hold up, this movie, this second take on Jumanji would not have done so well. This cast made the freaking movie. It was all about them. I mean, the roles that they played were played so incredibly well in this film, and that's what made it so entertaining. Mm-hmm. So that's I think a big challenge that they have to take on.
Yep. Well, yeah, and I think it's interesting that they're not afraid to take on Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different demographic they're shooting for. And I'm looking at the numbers for 2017 movies, and I'm Jumanji is number 5 for last year right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, all the movies above it, The Last Jedi, Beauty and the Beast, Wonder Woman, Guardians, all made over $100 million opening weekend. you know, Star Wars is 220. Then we had 174 for Beauty and the Beast, 103, 146. Jumanji made $36 million opening weekend.
Wow.
So talk about staying power and you know, word of mouth.
Right.
I mean, this movie had it.
So it's
done half of what Star Wars The Last Jedi did.
Oh, yeah.
You know, total. It's 610 versus 338, but all word of mouth.
I have to imagine that the folks at Sony, like every morning when they walk into the office, there's a high five.
We did it!
Because they're able to say, we beat Star Wars. I mean, not in total numbers, but in terms of the box office and longevity, they beat Star Wars. That's a big freaking deal. And obviously, we're all huge Star Wars fans here. But, you know, we can acknowledge when something really, it's a monumental thing for this to happen. And really, if you guys haven't seen the film, go see it. I promise you, you will be entertained. Insanely incredible movie. So fun.
I think the division of reception to Star Wars definitely helped this out. Whereas there was no division of reception to Jumanji.
Yeah.
I think what I've seen across the board is everybody had fun. It's not like a thinking man's movie. It's a fun popcorn movie. And like, that's great for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Whereas Star Wars really divided everybody and created like this conversation, which can work in a movie's favor, but.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing it's up against as far as, you know, episode 9 goes, the middle Star Wars movie always takes a little dip, you know, in a trilogy. The last one's going to be a bump up again because it hates the ending of the story. And I think you're going to see that. So it's going to be a tougher sell against Star Wars episode 9 than it was against Last Jedi.
Also, this Jumanji, I just don't see it banking the way that this did because this was a surprise to people. Whereas, I don't know if it's like the same four in a second, like it's not going to, I don't think it would hit as high.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I kind of disagree with you, Lizzie, because if Jumanji was his own thing and it was hyped up and was a big release and a big box office draw for that, yeah, the second one's probably not going to do as well. But this wasn't supposed to be a big movie.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I mean, it did miserable first weekend, or not miserable, but, you know, low compared to what the rest of the top eight movies of the year were. And I think the word of mouth for this is going to carry on. And people are going to say, yeah, that was a good movie. I'll go see this one, too.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Then we'll see it. I'm looking forward to seeing how it stacks up.
And it's coming out so soon after the second one that I think it's going to still be riding a wave. There's a lot of people who are going to say, wow.
I mean, two years is a long time, though.
Well, it is, but it's certainly much shorter than the time period between the first one and the second one.
Well, sure.
And, you know, I mean, so many people love the first one. This second one just hits so hard. And I think a lot of folks are going to be really hyped up for the third one. And they're going to, you know, they're going to want to go see it. And Jumanji is something that with their take on this, again, with having these disconnected different but connected by a thread films and stories and concepts. You know, they can, and I'm not suggesting they should do this, but there's absolutely potential for, hey, we have some films. Let's do we can do a Netflix series or a mini series on Jumanji that has this other thread. We can do an animated series. Mm-hmm. Jumanji is a franchisable property now. And I think just with this second film, they showed the chops that it has to be able to do that.
Now, you know, Tim, you know, just you're saying that now somebody in Hollywood's going to pick up on, okay, it's a movie, and it's a game. We can charge for downloadable content. Thanks, Tim. you just screw us all out of extra money.
Tim put it in their heads.
Well, I mean, just like I may or may not have had some conversations with the folks at Lucasfilm about the new Thrawn trilogy.
You're not getting a Thrawn trilogy.
I'm sure that I, you know, may or may not have some conversations with the folks at Sony about this expanded Jumanji franchise. So my ideas keep on coming.
Make sure to get that.
If there are... Oh, yeah. If there's any other studios that want to give me a call and they want to have some really good, profitable ideas.
Lego Thrawn!
You know, look me up. Look me up. I'll take care of you.
Oh, boy.
I'll take care of you.
Oh, boy.
Lou, what's next?
soon.
See, Altered Carbon, a Netflix series
even
coming out.
I get tired of my own crap sometimes.
You're amazing. we've already moved on, Jim.
So something that wasn't on my radar until last week sometime, actually. Altered Carbon on Netflix, coming out February 2nd. So I'll be busy February 2nd watching Patriots win Super Bowl. But... actually, it's Friday. February 4th.
Sunday, not on a Friday.
So I watched it beforehand. Yeah. So this looks really, really good. There's a trailer out there now for it. Came out, I think, last Thursday, maybe it was. The concept is this is 300 years in the future, and consciousness can be digitized and saved and reloaded into another body, mm-hmm. so you're really immortal now. And it's not just about the sci-fi and the high-tech aspect of it. There's a murder mystery going on and some other stuff along with that. So it looks really, really good. I'm hoping this is going to be in a good series because, of course, you know, I need more to watch because I can't keep up with the stuff I'm watching now. But
yeah,
this should be a bingeable show, I think, on Netflix. Problems.
I mean, if you have not checked out this trailer for Altered Carbon, definitely jump on YouTube and do so. It is like sci-fi, cyberpunk eye candy. It is. Yep. It's a really, really cool looking trailer. They put a lot into effects in this. They're pretty freaking good effects.
And there's actually a new, not trailer, but a new featurette on the film for some of the special effects. And the fight scenes look amazing.
Oh, really?
And they were talking about the training and everything that went into some of these fight scenes. It looks really, really cool. Yeah. So, I mean, this looks like a typical high quality Netflix show.
See,
so I'm looking forward
not
to
only did Liz does Liz have her, you know, bigger hair tip, but she's like twirling her hair and stuff. She's like totally anti-team bald what? Guy because she's like flaunting her. Here, I have all this hair. You guys don't.
Way to go on a rabbit trail, Tim.
Especially Tim when nobody
can see
that either.
No one can see my hair.
Everyone listening on the podcast is going, what is he talking about?
Tim is just, go to Instagram, people.
He just had a birthday. He's getting seen.
I am.
Features Liz's hair.
There you go. My Netflix is obsessed with Altered Carbon. Like every time I go to watch something else, it's like, how about this? Like it just automatically plays the trailer. Well, and as I was telling you before,
ads are all over the internet.
They're everywhere. I've seen guerrilla marketing. Like, I think I saw a billboard about it or like, I keep on seeing like the imagery from it. And I don't even know where I've seen it. Like I keep seeing it everywhere. I feel like their guerrilla marketing is on point with this thing. I'm interested in it, but I haven't fully watched the trailer because I'm mad at my Netflix for shoving it in my face. Although I'm probably going to like it, but whatever. I'm holding out as long as I can.
You probably will. Well, it's not a Hallmark
Listen
channel
to me right now, story, Lou. But... February 18th is coming so fast.
What's February
the next
18th?
Season of When Calls the Heart. Okay. I knew you were okay. Trolling for the date so you could
I'm
watch
sorry
with me.
I asked. Oh, gosh.
Live tweeting every Sunday night.
I was going to say, Lizzie, you're going to live tweet. What's
when
name
calls
again?
The heart. Don't pretend like you didn't memorize
when
it.
I knew his heart something. As you know.
Just remember, production studios, if you want some good ideas, look me up. This Hallmark, no. Although, actually, I got to say, I'm looking forward to, because I think Al Roker is an American treasure. I love the guy. He's an Oswego alum and as am I. I like his books. He's written some disaster management, some disaster books, which I've enjoyed because that's my thing. And he also wrote his own murder mystery book, which got made into a film, which was done.
I did hear about that
on the Hallmark Channel, the thing is that what's funny is that the Hallmark Channel isn't even in my guide because, you know, you select the networks that you want in it. So I actually had to like open up my guide to find the Hallmark Channel so I could set my DVR to record the movie.
This makes me so happy.
And I haven't watched it yet.
He had a cameo in the movie, I think, didn't he? Didn't he play a weatherman in the movie?
I don't know. Yeah, I would hope that
he wrote
did.
The book, he should.
But I truly love Al Roker, so I need to check out his murder mystery.
This makes me so happy that you had to go find the Hallmark Channel. it makes me so happy.
And while I was doing it, I will, in full disclosure, I laughed to myself and I thought about Liz.
This is like, my whole goal in life. It's just for you to think for about
the
me.
Hallmark Channel. Oh, and then my mind goes from the association Hallmark Channel Liz. Oh gosh.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh, Liz is gonna rub my face. I'm watching the Hallmark Channel.
I am basically a Hallmark Channel heroine. Hello. Oh,
you are. They should actually pay you for the marketing.
They should.
Well, Tim, if watching the Hallmark or recording the Hallmark Channel made you feel a little, you know, queasy, this next trailer that we're going to talk about will get you more pumped up.
Good
again.
Job getting us back on track.
Segway.
I keep you guys. It's like herding cats around.
Segway.
So we have the new trailer released last week. I think it was for Pacific Rim.
Okay.
Oh, which looks
pumped.
So awesome.
I'm pumped.
It does. I'm glad we're getting to see more of this movie now because John Boyega looks amazing in the movie.
Boyfriend. Serious internet boyfriend.
And you're seeing a little more of this. This is one of the movies that I don't care about knowing more about the storyline because, you know, it's not going to be a surprise, really.
The storyline of this movie doesn't matter.
Right.
Not exactly. At all.
It's all about the action. The, you know, the fun, the popcorn. That's what this movie is about for me.
They could be building Jaegers to kill bunny rabbits. And that's so long as these special effects and these visuals that I see in this trailer hold up, I'm totally good with it. I don't care what they do with it.
It's funny because the first one, you know, the imagery was pretty good. You got to admit it was cool to watch these giant robots take on, the gaiju. But this one, it was a scene in the trailer where was it a gaiju twirling around a Jaeger? And like he's swinging him through buildings.
Oh, yeah.
It looked amazing. I can't wait to see this.
It looks so much better than the first one, even if that's even possible. And the first one is good.
And the first one was amazing.
Yeah, the first one's good. I feel like I didn't watch the first one until actually last month. That was the first time I ever saw it.
I thought you meant the first trailer for this one. I'm sorry.
No, the first Pacific Rim.
The first movie. Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, the first trailer was as good as this one. But the first movie, I feel like. I remember the hype and I just didn't see it. And then I watched it last month and I was like, the new trailer looks like so much better than this movie. Like the characterization, the effects have even gotten better. Like just all over. I was like, I watched the old one because of the new trailer. And I was like, I really can't wait for the second one. Cause I feel like it's going to be like 17 times better.
Yeah, it's funny. I was not a huge fan of the first movie. I thought the movie was kind of okay.
It was good. It was fun.
It was fine. It was a fun popcorn movie. But the technology got me a little bit. Okay, this is kind of weird. And why are they doing it this way? And now it's like they've moved on past that. So I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah. Neither do I.
I just want to see robot mayhem, giant robot battles, and I'm like, okay, I'm on board.
Mass extinction of bunny rabbits, Lou. With giant robots, which all have different superpowers. I mean, that's freaking awesome. That's all I need.
He's on such a tangent with killing bunny rabbits, you psycho.
If you want squirrels instead, that's fine.
I do want squirrels instead.
Why would you want to kill squirrels?
Anyways, the point is, I watched the first one because of the trailer of the second one and was like, wah, wah, give me the second one. So, so I'm jazzed for this.
Soon enough,
internet boyfriend times
soon
two.
Enough, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Little baby Scott Eastwood. Hello, boyfriend.
Oh, boy.
Boyfriend.
Okay, anyway, the last news item we have this week is actually a Star Wars item. I didn't think it was a huge Star Wars story, but I thought this was more of a media story that I thought would be interesting to talk about. We all know that the Star Wars movies haven't done well internationally, primarily because of the market in China not really accepting it.
Right.
China didn't have Star Wars for that long. They got the movies really recently, all the movies, and then episode 7 didn't do that well. Episode 8 hasn't done that well in China. So internationally, the movie is not a flop by any stretch of imagination, but it hasn't done as well as other movies have. So the marketing team has decided to change the name of the Solo movie when it's released in China to get rid of the word Star Wars.
because that's going to make a little difference.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, as soon as they're doing it, they're trying to distance itself from Star Wars, but
that dumb.
They know it's Star Wars. It's not like it's a big
that's
secret.
That's super dumb.
And do they really think that's going to gain viewers by dropping Star Wars from the title? I mean, are people?
I don't know. I mean,
the thing is,
maybe they think that
is it that
people don't understand it's a Star Wars movie.
Is it that people aren't interested in Star Wars, or that people are opposed to Star Wars?
Right.
Because if people are opposed to Star Wars, sure, drop that from the name, and maybe you might fool three or four people. But if people just simply aren't interested in it, it's not going to matter.
Right.
Right. I think it's the latter. I think it's they're not interested because they just haven't had the same.
They didn't grow up with it.
You know, history with it that the rest of the world has.
I mean,
or instead of thinking about silly, stupid crap like this, they actually give us a trailer because that would be awesome. Why don't we build some hype and actually do some marketing instead of futzing around with do we have include Star Wars in the title or not include Star Wars in the title? No, give the world an effing trailer so you can like build excitement and make people happy and make people want to go see the movie instead of all this crap.
For more on this, you can definitely go to Slack in the rants channel, which where Tim will fully give you a rant about this. Tim,
because at this
on
point,
a scale
I want to see
to
giant
10.
Robots crush little bunny rabbits.
We lost him. We've lost him.
Okay, so that wraps up our news this week. We do have a What Were They Thinking segment for this week. Eric had suggested another reboot that we actually already talked about a few weeks ago, which I guess is officially picked up as a pilot now. So that's why it's been in the news a lot lately. And that's the Magnum PI thing.
Oh, man.
We did kill that before. We actually talked about it a little bit in this episode as well. But I want to let Lizzie kind of rant a little bit because there's now a rumored Charmed reboot.
All right, friends. Let me tell you something right.
You know, wind her up and just try to.
Speaking of rants, go ahead,
now,
Liz.
I am not okay with this. Okay, where to start? Let's see. Charmed is wonderful. It is a great show. They ended it perfectly. It was wonderful, and it should be just put in a little bubble and put it on a shelf and not. What is wrong with people?
But no, Lizzie, wait a minute. Because the story I'm reading online here says the CW has ordered two drama pilots for the 2018-2019 season, one of which is the long-awaited reboot of Charmed.
No.
So people are waiting for this, Lizzie.
By who?
Excuse me. I want to know who's... If you are waiting for a Charmed reboot, please at me on Twitter, because what the junk...
I mean, it's written right here on the internet. It's got to be true,
not true,
right?
Look, I liked Charmed. I thought it was good. It could, if someone wants to reboot it in 15 or 20 years. It is far too soon right now to reboot a series that is in syndication. You still see it regularly played. It still holds up. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. So this seems to me... And I know, and particularly the last few episodes, I feel like I've dropped this is the ultimate bottom line reason why certain stupid things happen, but it comes down to money. Someone is just simply wanting to make a money grab off of something that popped in their head. They say, oh, hey, that was successful. That made some money. So let's stick the name of that onto our project, and we're going to do that. And there's, you know, a Magnum PI reboot. Okay, that's cool. They're going to make some changes to it. They're going to use the theme. They're going to modernize it. Magnum PI was 20 years ago. No, it was longer than that. Good God.
Yeah, you old.
It was like 30 years ago. I know.
You old, bro. Yeah.
So it was like 30 years ago. Sure, that's legit. You can do a reboot of that. But Charmed, no, Charmed was not, is yeah, not I that mean, old.
Charmed went off the air in 2006.
Like it was, yeah, like, this is crazy.
Okay, here's what I'll say is that, like, I don't know what the plot of it is, but if they're thinking about getting three new Halliwell sisters and like if it's a reboot, this is the thing. If it's an in-world continuation, the kids are taking over, like the sons, because it was the daughters, they had kids, sons, and they, I don't know, if it's somehow in the world of Charmed, but the word reboot hangs me up, right? Because if you are talking about bringing in three new girls to play the Halliwell sisters and like redoing their life, I'm going to be real pissed about it. And I don't like what the precedent of like rewriting a great story that you told. Why tell it in the first place? What is wrong with you? I don't understand the mentality of that. Like, I'm okay. For example, I love Fuller House. I'm all about Fuller House. It's a continuation. It's in the world. It's a reboot in a way, because it's the girls who are in the house instead of the boys. And it's a continuation. I'm all about it.
It's further in the timeline.
Right.
They're using a lot of the same characters. It's all the same, using a lot of the same actors.
Right. And it's funny and it's light and it's great. But if they had gone back and been like, let's just get three new dudes to play, like to be in a house together and raise kids, like that is unbelievable to me. So I don't understand the concept. Same with Magnum PI. I don't understand the concept of like rewriting something that, because this is, they're taking nostalgia and they're saying they have such a level of nostalgia for this one thing. They love it so much. They love it. Let's murder it by redoing it. Like, well, Tim and his robot bunny killers. Like, what is happening?
I mean, it's a pure money grab. You're taking something that was successful and you're going to try to redo it. And most of the time, I don't think those are successful, because the fans of the original are going to boycott this, like Lizzie. The people that didn't get into the first one probably aren't going to get into the second one. So now who's going to watch
it? And I'm going to tell you right now. You know,
the fans aren't going to watch it.
If they go back and touch shows like Buffy or Dawson's Creek or any of my other favorite CWWB shows from the 90s, from the late 90s to the early 2000s, I'm going to protest. I will be a one woman march around the studio.
And she will get a giant robot and step on you and your little bunnies.
I mean, okay, that seems like a really big commitment to try to find like robots and like make a robot and like get in it and then stomp people. Like, that's a lot, but.
And you need another pilot.
Right.
John Boyega. Lizzie, I will be your co-pilot.
No, John Boyega, boyfriend.
You can have John Boyega. Boyfriend.
Wait. Tim, does that mean you guys have to be linked psychically between the two of you? That's going to be really awkward, I think.
But what's interesting, and we started to have this conversation actually before we started recording, was the things that we think are acceptable to reboot versus the things that we don't think are acceptable to reboot. And so, you know, you have things like Ghostbusters or Magnum PI or
Charmed.
Charmed or MacGyver, or, you know, certain things that. And it's interesting how our opinions, I think, are up and down on it. And it doesn't have, I don't know that necessarily has to do with how much we loved something, because I loved Ghostbusters. I loved MacGyver. I didn't want reboots of either one of those. Yet I wouldn't say I loved Magnum, but I really enjoyed it. And I'm pretty enthusiastic about the potential for that reboot. So it's just kind of interesting how that is. And I'm just kind of, just from my perspective, it's been interesting to see just our own feelings across the three of us, and then how some of those things are reflected, in Slack and on social media. And I have to wonder about the perspective of our listeners in general, who are thinking, well, geez, you guys are saying this reboot's okay, but this one isn't. And I don't know how, like, I can't logically create an algorithm even for myself that's going to predict that, you know, for this, I'm okay with it, but for that, I'm not. It's just it's interesting.
Well, and I also think it depends on how they do it too. I mean, like you said, a continuation of the story with the same characters going forward in time is one thing. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
Redoing the entire show with different people is like, okay, well, why would I want that?
You except know? For with especially BSG.
But, you know, they did that, but it was a different take on it, too. It wasn't the same.
Right, but you're taking Starbuck, you know? And you're making, I mean, it's still characters that are, like, existing characters rewritten. So for that, we give it a pass. I think that right, everybody has their level. Same,
yeah, no, you're definitely right. And Tim was hitting on a good point there, too. But, like, just to back into the BSG thing for a second, it was also a continuation, too. There was also,
yeah, you're right.
You know, there was a hinting to the original war and what happened, and then we had the classic Vipers. And, you know, so it was still moving on, but I think it gave us a way to feel good about the moving on.
I think BSG lives in that bubble because it was such a unique and it predates this whole, you know, cluster truck of reboots that like everybody yeah. just is rebooting everything. That was sort of early in this whole stage of doing that. It's not by any means the first that to reboot anything, but I think it was early on in the let's re-envision a show that has been gone for a long time. The other thing I'll say is that I feel like sitcoms can get away with it in a way that dramas can't, because dramas take us on a different, like the Will and Grace one on board. I think the Murphy Brown one is an interesting concept. I like Murphy Brown. I feel like why not? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even I didn't like Roseanne, but like Roseanne, there's something about it that I'm like, all right, like it doesn't. Something about dramas take you from like this emotional journey. Like if they rebooted Lost or something, like you can't reboot a show like that. It took you on a journey and you bought into it. Now, but with a sitcom, I feel like there's something different with a sitcom. Maybe that's the line for me. Sitcoms, fine. Yeah,
but you know, you mentioned those two things too, and it just kind of struck a chord with me too, because I remember hearing about the Murphy Brown thing, but I'm like, okay, I enjoyed Murphy Brown. It wasn't a huge thing, but I'm like, why would we redo that? It was about the character.
Well, I mean, but I don't think they're redoing it because Candace Bergen is signed on for it. So I think it's somehow a continuation.
Oh, really?
She's involved in it from what I've seen.
Cool. Yep.
So I think with sitcoms, you can't get away. It's not like, oh, they're going to redo Friends. They're all tied with the characters. So for some reason with dramas. Well,
there was a talk about that recently, too, about Friends.
There's never going to happen, by the way.
The actor who plays Phoebe was asked about it. And she's like, it's like, well, you know, that was about us in our 20s and 30s and wouldn't be as fun about us in our 40s and 50s.
Well, also, nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see where they are now. But for some reason, it does work for Will and Grace. I don't know why, but it does. I like what they've been doing with that. So I don't know why it works for them, but it wouldn't work for Friends. But it really wouldn't.
And I'm not sure if Tim was going here, but I think that I'd like to hear some feedback from listeners. Mm-hmm. As to what would work for them and what wouldn't work for them as far as reboots go.
Definitely.
You know, what properties of yours over the years are things that you're like, no, don't ever touch that.
Buffy.
in which ones do you say, you know what? I like the show. I want to have a new imagining of it. You know, I mean, you know, BSG is one for me. And I think we all agree that was a great way to go.
So good.
There was that Knight Rider reboot that lasted maybe a year that was horrible.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I feel like Knight Rider could have been primed for a good reboot if they had really thought it through. Because the car is everlasting. So if you could get the car into a new scenario interesting.
Well, you know, some people didn't like it because they changed from a Pontiac Trans Am to a Ford Mustang.
See, now that's, but, you know, that is stupid, I think. That's the whole point is the car. Keep the freaking car.
Right.
Yeah, see,
but you're right. That could have been a good movie. It could have been a good show redone, but it was just done horribly. So, I mean, yeah, I'd like to have some emails from people or Twitter or whatever about, you know, what properties, you know, don't ever want touched.
Come
you
know, talk to me about Charmed, say, Friends. Come talk to me.
I'd love to see a reboot of it. Which ones are like, well, you know, I could take it or leave it.
And also,
any reasoning for why too? You know, is it the characters? Is it the actors? Is it, you know, I want a new imagining of something, or I want it done the same way it was and just redo it with new people?
Yeah, and I think even generally, if because even I'm having a hard time, like, is it kind of mapping my own algorithm that determines, oh, I'm okay with this, but I'm not okay with that. And so if there's any listeners that kind of have it straight in their head as to why they're good with one thing but not good with something else, I'm interested in hearing that, because I can't even figure out my own thoughts, my own reasoning behind it.
You know why I think I'm okay with the Will and Grace one is because I didn't like how they ended the series. I felt like they jumped the shark in the last season for sure. It was just super, got to a point where you're like, where have you gone with this? And the ending was like, it was disappointing. And so to be able to see the same characters come back and rewrite the story and sort of say, like, they sort of did like a ha ha ha, that didn't really happen. Sort of like a new heart waking up, the dream thing, which is one of the best.
That
was a great.
So for Will and Grace, they actually did kind of do a soft reboot where they.
Sort of, yeah.
It wasn't a pure pick up where we left off and continue the story. They changed some things to allow them to continue the story.
In the first episode, they make a joke about the finale and say, did this really happen? Did that really happen? And Karen's like, ha ha ha, no. And they're like, they look at the camera and they're like, all caught up. You know what I mean? And they really sort of, they break and allow you into it and to say like, yeah, the ending sucked. We're going to redo it. This is what's happening. And so I feel like that's an interesting way to go with it. And they really worked on the viral campaign of the YouTube video that went around during the election and the success coming off of that. So I feel like that is working for them. So the fact that their ending sucked, like maybe that's a key in the whole thing. Like if you loved the, I don't know, let's say 10 seasons of Knight Rider. I know there wasn't, but like, whatever. Let's say there were 10 seasons of Knight Rider and you loved the show, but in the ending, you were like, why did they do that? And they got a chance to go back and say, here's an alternative to that. Then that, I'm okay with that. If you're bringing back same characters and allowing them to end it the way that it maybe should have and you didn't get the chance, the studio didn't give you the option or whatever, like, I'm cool with that. Maybe Murphy Brown is in that vein. But when you're going back and you're rewriting a story that people fell in love with, like Charmed is a beautiful story. The way from the Shannen Doherty era to the Rose McGowan era. And like now you're going to go in and say like either that never happened or that's for me where you're like, now it's a money grab. It has nothing to do with the emotion that people put into the show or why they watched it in the first place. It's all about the money. And I'm not on board for that at all. I don't care about your money. I don't care about your money. I care about the way that your show made me feel. Now you're ruining it.
Yep. Well, so to that point, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this kind of stuff. You can do so by sending us an email at randomchatter@randomchatter.com and find us online in other various ways too. But we'd love to have your emails on that topic of reboots and what works for you.
Yeah, definitely hit us up online with this conversation because it's an interesting one to see, like Tim was saying, like where's your line? Where are you like that never touch it? Because I'm honestly, if they ever redo Buffy, I'm going to just light something on fire. I'll be so mad. I can't handle it. I will not be able to handle it, you guys. But anyways, definitely come online and talk to us about this. You can find us at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork or on Twitter. That is my favorite place to rant and talk about this kind of stuff. at Random Chatter for the group, at Nerd in the City for me personally, at where for you, Lou?
Just my name, Lou Secchi, Lousecki.
And Tim Stiffer, where can they find you?
at Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with two M's. You can also check out all of our shows at randomchatter.com. That's our show, so you can sample or actually you can listen to the full episodes of shows there. You can see what's come out recently if you're not already, you know, downloading them to your favorite podcast app, which you should be. I'm not quite sure why you aren't. We have blogs and polls and all sorts of different stuff up on randomchatter.com, so please be sure to check that out. Also check out some of our other shows. If this is the only show that you listen to on the network, we still appreciate you. We definitely want you to continue listening. We're glad that you're enjoying it. If you're a Star Wars fan, please be sure to check out, our Star Wars shows, Echo Base and Aren't You a Little Short for a Podcast. We also have, the show that actually Liz and I need to get caught up on here pretty shortly,
which is
Movie Rampage. We've been promising a review of The Last Jedi now for a while, and we've just gotten so sidetracked with that. And we have a handful of other shows that are out there, both long form and short form. And we have, we're really excited because we have some other things coming out, as we continue on into the new year. So, be sure to check out randomchatter.com and as Liz said, our Twitter feeds, because you'll get news and information on those things.
And of course, we'd love it if you spread the word about the shows to all your friends. Leave us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast from. And of course, you know, your friends that are listening to or watching the same things you are probably interested in the same stuff. So let them know what you're listening to and where to find us.
And Patreon. You haven't heard any ads on this show, and at least at present, you're not hearing any ads on our other shows across the network, because we are essentially sponsored by you, our listeners, or many of our listeners, at least. You can head over to patreon.com/randomchatter, and that is how you can contribute to the network. Just like every other organization, we have bills to pay. We have to pay web hosting fees. We have to pay data fees. We have to pay all that kind of stuff. That keeps us up and running and keeps us able to continue providing content and throwing it out there. Because for some reason, people actually like to listen to me and what I have to say. No, I don't know why.
That's not. I can understand why
people want to listen to Liz and why people want to listen to Lou. But for some reason, people actually want to hear what I say, which is mind blowing to me.
Sometimes it's the melodious strains
of your voice, Tim.
Giant rabbits stepping on little, or giant rabbits, no, giant robots stepping on little bunnies.
Tell me more about these giant rabbits.
There was a movie called, Lou would know this, Night of the Lepus, or something like that. It was like a 50s B movie.
Why would I know movie from the 50s?
Don't lie, Lou, you were around.
Yes, Night of the Lepus. We're looking at...
What?
Oh no, this is 1972.
What are you talking about right now?
1972 American science fiction horror thriller film. Based on the 1964 science fiction novel, The Year of the Angry Rabbit. These were giant killer rabbits. So consider the killer rabbits from... Holy Grail, but these were much larger, and it was like set. Okay. I've completely derailed this.
The movie poster is just frightening.
Horrible.
What is happening right now?
So anyway, patreon.com/randomchatter.
Move us along.
Folks who contribute to us and help the network out, we give things back to you, so you get access to our Slack. Network, which is awesome and a lot of fun, where you get to interact with us and with other hosts and with other contributors. And the more you contribute, the more we give to you. So you get access to premium content and all sorts of other things. And maybe even we'll talk about Night of the Lepus at some point.
No,
we won't.
No, we will not. And
keep us moving right along.
The music you hear on Random Chatter is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. You're welcome.
It was nice.
And that's about all we have to say tonight, so we are just going to close it down and get us out of here.
Dear Lord.
See you guys next week.